You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is up? Eddie Pascal coming at you once again from Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. And at this point in the afternoon, the bench press portion of today, the stuff that's open to the public just wrapped up. We saw the tight ends, the wide receivers do their thing. DK Metcalf put up 27 reps, a lot of reps. We'll get more on that in just a little bit, as well as N'Keal Harry put up 27 in a big way, the most casual of 27 reps. But it's been another busy day here in Indy, a lot going on, the energy picking up, so today's been a lot of fun. Kyler Murray, the Kyler Murray Show, debuted here at Lucas Oil Stadium. Not on the field just yet, but in the media. Actually, he just addressed the national media a few minutes ago. We will get more to that when our good friend Kyle Martin Media joins the program in just a little bit. But no coach Gruden today, no Mayock, so our focus shifts just a little bit. It focuses more now, we have been focusing more on the actual prospects, the guys that are doing their best to show that they are worthy of getting picked, ideally for them in the first round. But for many of these guys, really is just showing up. And look, as we look to the screen, Mike Mayock, Raiders general manager, walking down the hallway, rocking a very powerful goatee, a strong salt and pepper goatee, looking in command, looking like a man whose draft board is very strong, very tight. So as I said, our focus has shifted now to the prospects, and as much, you know, much fun as it was talking with Coach and Mike the other day, learning a little bit about more about their relationship, what we should look forward to in the coming months. I mean, this is where it really starts in terms of evaluation, and I know our junior draft analyst Kyle has been busy, checking boxes. Producer Steve, the Macho King, also went to the stadium today to do a little evaluation of his own, but it's picking up. You feel the energy increasing. The NFL experience, today's a Friday. Obviously, more fans in and around the building. You feel that. You get to feed off the energy. And it's been fun, man. It's been a lot of fun. We're getting a lot done. I like it. But before we continue with the program, let me just say we have a great guest today. Our guest joining the program, Bucky Brooks, NFL Network's own, and not only NFL Network's own, he's one of our own. As we say, once a Raider, always a Raider. And Bucky donned the silver and black for about a half a season to finish out his career just a few years ago. So we start with Bucky, and we're just going to get right into it. We look at Bucky's last mock draft that came out just a few days ago. And Bucky, here at number 4, you have the silver and black taking Rashawn Gary at the University of Michigan. So, fresh off the top, you put your latest mock draft out. Mm-hmm. You got Rashawn Gary to the silver and black at 4. First off, about Gary, what do you think really, what about his skills that makes him a good fit at 4? And then I got a couple questions for you about the defensive line group in general in 2019.
Rashawn Gary is probably one of the best athletes that you'll find at the position. He is going to light it up at the combine when he runs around and does the athletic testing. And I think it's going to be hard for a team in need of a defensive lineman to pass him up. He has versatility. He can play defensive tackle or defensive end. He has explosive physical traits that you absolutely love. The production hasn't matched the talent, but everywhere there's always a defensive coach that believes that they can kind of unlock their soul and kind of get it out of him. I think when you're sitting there at 4 with the Oakland Raiders, you want to accumulate as many talented players as you can and see if Paul Gunther can rebuild that defense. I think he's a nice fit at 4.
I mean, you talk about that productivity or lack thereof in this case. Is there any worry about using a pick that high, a top 5 pick, on a guy who necessarily didn't, you know, blow the doors off the barn in college?
Well, I mean, you can make that argument for Nick Bosa,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa only has 17.5 sacks, but we've anointed him the number 1 overall pick. I think what you have to do is you got to dig down and kind of see what the motivation is. You have to see what the skill sets are. You have to determine if they're a medical risk, meaning that can they be durable, can they be dependable, can they show up for 16 consecutive weeks and make plays. With Rashawn Gary, yeah, there's a bit of a risk in taking a guy that is more of a athlete than a player, but what you're banking on is your coaching staff can find a way to kind of tap into it and develop them. And if he hits, he becomes a guy that can be one of those blue chip players that you had.
You know, you talked to Mike Mayock yesterday, and he said that this defensive line class, kind of top to bottom, is the best that he's seen in about a decade. He goes, you know, the past 10 years, when you're looking at the defensive line, this is the best one. When you look at the group as a whole, what really stands out to you? I know we talked about Gary, but just overall, what really about the group kind of excites you?
I mean, they're deep and talented, versatile. You have inside disruptors, you have outside pass rushers, you have guys that can stop the run, and you have a bunch of them. There's not the need to necessarily run up the board to get a guy because there are plenty of guys that can fall to you. And so I think teams that are looking for defensive line help, teams that are looking for what we call foundation pieces on a defense, they can find them in this draft. And so I think there's a lot of excitement because you think you can get a disruptive player, whether at one, whether at 32, whether in the second or third round, you still can find guys that can be nice value picks on defense.
You know, we've been here for the past couple of days, and obviously over the past several months, we've talked so much about that number four pick. You know, it's a top five pick. It's a place where you want to get a game changer, right? But let's not forget about those two picks later in the first round, 24 and 27. I mean, obviously coming off of four wins in 2018, excuse me, a lot of holes that the Raiders need to fill. When you look at those two picks in particular, if the Raiders do decide to stay there, what is a good fit for them to do in those two spots?
Well, there are a couple different things because when you have that value, I wonder what would happen if there's a scenario when Jeffrey Simmons is available. The defensive tackle from Mississippi State is arguably the top one or two defensive tackles in this class. Popped his ACL a few weeks ago. May not be ready to play this year. However, we saw the Raiders take a chance on Mo Hurst, and it worked out for them. There's a bit of a history in doing that. As you're beginning to accumulate blue-chip players, sometimes you roll the dice on a player that is as talented as Simmons. If you don't go in that direction, I think they have to replace what has been missing, what has gone out the door. You got to find a playmaker, a wide receiver, someone that can help Derek Carr. You need to find a legitimate running back that can affect the defense and how they play you. Now, is that a Josh Jacobs that you may take in the 20s if he's available? Possibly. Do you expand the second-round pick on a running back that may be there, be it a Singletary or a David Montgomery? They have to just make sure that they just accumulate as many good football players as they can to kind of rebuild and set this organization back on the right track.
You know, both Coach Gruden and Mike have said that, you know, we're open for business at 24 and 27. You know, that maybe, you know, we're willing to package the picks to move up, to move down, to move, you know, to be very fluid in what they do in the back end of that round. Do you think there's going to be a market for them to either move up or for someone to come and take those picks from them?
I mean, there's always a market. People always want to get down. We've heard conversations about the Jets wanting to move down and other teams wanting to move down. People want as many picks as they can have, many lottery tickets that you can go. You think it enhances your chances. The big thing is, no matter how many picks that you have, at some point you got to pick good players. The challenge that the Raiders will have is, can they come up with enough good players on the board to be able to just look, we're just going to take the best player that's on the board. It's a new process for Mike Mayock, but look, he and Gruden, Sean Herrock, and the rest of the staff, they'll figure it out, and then they'll make a consensus pick. But it's really important with three first-round picks, you need to make sure you don't have to hit home runs, but you at least have to hit doubles. Got to hit the ball in the fairway.
You know, we've talked so much about the defensive line class the past couple of days, and for good reason, too. But I'm curious, outside of the defensive line, what are the really strengths of this class coming out?
I think the tight end class is fantastic. The tight end class is loaded with difference makers. T.J. Hockenson, you have Noah Fant, Irv Smith Jr. You have guys below them, Isaac Nada, Jake Sternberger, Caden Smith from Stanford. There are a number of players that can come from the college game and be plug-and-play starters and give you significant contributions. The league is trending to more of a multi-tight end offensive situation. I think what you do is you continue to see these guys kind of make moves to find these guys that can make plays in the middle of the field.
You know, and we talk to Jim Plunkett all the time, and he says tight end is a quarterback's best friend. And you look at how successful of a year Jared Cook had last year with Derek. Jared's set to hit free agency. So I could definitely see the Raiders getting into that free agent market, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, like, they definitely want to get that. I mean, Coach Gruden wants veterans. He wants guys who already know how to play. There's not a lot of patience for teaching and developing young players. So the free agent market is where you can get guys that are kind of ready-made. You just need to make sure they fit your scheme. The draft is more of a longer play. You're drafting young, athletic guys that you can kind of teach and mold, and eventually they can be the nucleus of your system. It's a bit of a combination in playing the yin and the yang between free agency and the draft. But if you do it and do it well, you can have a team that is good for a long time.
I appreciate your time, Bucky. We'll get you here on this. I'm curious. Obviously, you end your career in silver. Like, what do you remember about wearing the Raiders colors?
Always wanted to be a Raider. My favorite player coming up was Marcus Allen. Having played with Marcus Allen in Kansas City, When I got there, it was tough trying to determine which number I wanted to wear because 32 and 33 was available. I didn't want to disrespect Marcus, so I took 33. And I just remember putting it on and running out in the tunnel in Oaktown. And anyone who has played in the Coliseum understands how special it is to play there. For me, I just remember how rapid it was to play in the back hole and how special the place can be when you win it.
You're absolutely right. I always say there's nothing like a game day in Oakland. Well, Bucky Burks, we appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you later this week.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
And a very sincere thank you to NFL Network's Bucky Brooks for stopping by, dropping some good knowledge. Bucky is a man who delivers some quality mock drafts. Just look at his track record for that. So when Bucky talks, we listen, and that's exactly what we did. So we continue on to, if my notes are correct and memory serves, a segment that still remains sponsorless. The entire time we've been here, Producer Trav, I don't believe you picked up a sponsor.
I have not.
Cool. Open for business, just like we are at 24 and 27. Yeah. Anyways, Producer Trav, Eddie Pascal, and we welcome in our guest for the week. Really just our guest every time we do this. Our junior draft analyst, senior esports correspondent, and a man who has been up to his elbows in analysis and evaluation for the past 96 hours, Kyle Martin Media. Kyle, welcome aboard.
Happy to be here, Eddie. It's been, as you said, it's been an exciting day. And it's only going to get better as the weekend gets here, right? I mean, today we've seen a lot from the wide receivers. We saw a little bit of the running backs yesterday, and we saw them do their 40 times today. We saw their interview process yesterday. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow we will get to see the defensive linemen at the podium as well as some linebackers, which is what I know everybody wants to hear.
I know, and you're very excited about tomorrow in terms of the D-line. I know you've worked extensively. Hours and hours on the interweb there, looking at this defensive line class, figuring out who is real, who's not, and tomorrow hopefully you get a little clearer picture of what you want to see.
Definitely, I mean, what we want to see is the drills from guys like Quinnen Williams, Montez Sweat. We want to see how they perform. I want to see what they put up on the bench press. I know it's not the tell all be all,
sure,
but it is. You want your defensive lineman to be able to rack out some weight. So we'll see. It should be exciting. I'm definitely intrigued by a lot of the prospects in that group more than others. So time will tell.
Yeah, obviously, and speaking with General Manager Mike Mayock, Coach Gruden, people who are in the know here in Indianapolis, this defensive line class, generational, I don't know, that might be a bit much, but just in general, perhaps the best defensive line class that has come out.
It could be a once-in-a-generation.
Sure.
Depending on how they obviously pan out the league.
Yeah.
But sure, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, the talent's certainly there. Mike Mayock told us, I know we've used this line 1,000 times, probably the best defensive line group he's seen as a whole come out in 10 years. So,
it's a long time.
It's a long time. It's exciting, though, especially we were talking about this the other day, for a team that needs a pass rush as badly and as desperately as the Silver and Black do in 2019, coming at a good time, this generational class.
Yeah, to put it lightly, I mean, I know we finished last in sacks last
year. Which we've talked about is, one, not good, but two, a little deceiving, a little bit. I'm not saying in terms of how the group played or anything, but I think we can both agree that sacks are not the ultimate quantifier for how good or how bad a defensive line is. Could we agree with that?
Of course. I mean, they need
13. You got to do better than 13. I'm not trying to gloss that over. You have to do better than 13. Being 32 out of 32 in any metric, no bueno. But
sure, but I see you have to be able to stop the run, which we also were unable to do.
Yeah.
Which
also true.
We struggled in that area for sure. Obviously, a lot of growth from the young guys. It's a young team, so there was some highs and lows that any player would naturally go through. But, you gotta fortify that group up front.
You gotta. Just to go back to the wide receivers for just a second, we talked about them. The two things, so we sat here earlier this afternoon, we watched them bench. I think we all knew DK Metcalf was going to put up a big number at 225. Did you expect it to be that big? He put up 27 at 225, 27 reps.
You saw the picture of the man. If you haven't seen it on Twitter, go just literally Google DK Metcalf photo and it'll be the first one that pops up. The man looks like the Hulk.
Yeah.
Mixed with Venom and every
little Arnold Schwarzenegger thrown in there.
Yeah, every superhero combined. But 27 reps, I don't know if I expected that.
27 is a lot. I mean, just in comparison, we were looking at what our O-linemen threw up when they were at the combine, and Gabe Jackson threw up 30, which is an incredible number. KO put up 32 when he was a young buck here in Indy coming out. So for Metcalf to be in that conversation,
the majority of the wide receivers were averaging anywhere from,
I would say,
10
like,
to 13.
Yeah, I would
reps.
Say like maybe 13, 14. That was probably like the average. I mean, you saw some guys, some of the small school guys put up, you know, 6, 7. I know our guy from Oregon, Dylan Mitchell, didn't necessarily blow the weight off the table there. But, I mean, Metcalf was surprising. And I think equally as surprising to me, Kyle, was, I pronounce his name wrong every time. N'Keal, is that what we're going with?
N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry, excuse me. Apologies to Mr. Harry.
He also matched it.
Who put up 27-2. And to be honest with you, Harry's 27 looked almost easier than Metcalf's.
I only saw the tail end of Metcalf, but yeah, Harry looked like,
I mean,
he did
Harry was cruising until about 21, 22. I mean, he was in. He gutted through those last 5 or 6, but, I mean, those first 20, 21, I mean, it was just about his routine, and it looked like he was stretching them. I mean, he was busting through those.
Like, what do you think their max is?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I mean, if you're putting up 225, 27 times, you're probably benching
also
3-something.
Yeah, maybe 330.
Yeah, I was going to put it like 305, 330. Yeah, I mean, 330 probably.
That's
a lot of plates.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the math in my head, and I won't be able to.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah, that is a lot of plates. But yeah, I mean, I think those two are kind of the two that stood out just in terms of the benching portion. And obviously, putting up big numbers on the bench does not make you a good wide receiver. I don't think there's anyone that's going to pretend that that's the case. But in terms of guys who are kind of at the top of that list, you know, the 1A, 1B wide receivers in this class, to see them put up huge numbers, big numbers like that, got to feel pretty good.
Sure.
It'll check the boxes, as Mike likes to say.
I've got a question for you.
Hit me.
You just said, obviously, bench press doesn't mean that you're a good wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
But to that point, what about DeSean Jackson? Who are some guys who haven't necessarily been the strongest players in the league but have gone on to have successful careers?
Oh, man, I think immediately the first guy that comes to mind is a guy like Antonio Brown.
Sure.
You know, Antonio Brown, not a behemoth. But, I mean, what's Antonio Brown listed at? I can't imagine he's listed at more than 6 foot, maybe.
That's worth a good Google.
Yeah, I'm hitting it right now.
I would say Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry's
Antonio Brown's listed at 5'10", so, I mean, he's probably like 5'9".
Yeah. That's it's always a little generous.
Jarvis Landry, same kind of deal, sub 6 foot guy, 5'11". Yeah, I mean, it's not the be all end all, right? I mean, you got to be able to catch the ball, you got to be able to separate, you got to be able to run your ass, put yourself in a quarterback friendly position. But being strong doesn't really hurt that.
No, it doesn't.
You know,
it doesn't, especially when you have to box out or, you know, body somebody up in the red zone to go up and over them. But I don't know. I think it's all relative.
It is. I mean, I think it's fun right now to be like, oh, my God, he put up 27. Or, oh, this guy only put up 11.
It is fun to watch.
It is fun. It's immensely entertaining. I mean, you know, I have my issues with the NFL. I have not strayed away from those. But you got to give them credit for throwing this on TV because it is very compelling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the crowd, the fact that they have two full bleachers set up.
Yeah, full with people cheering.
The
and
crowd response.
The primal yell. We were talking about this earlier today. That's the best part of this whole thing is them just, you know, when they're getting to that final rep, maybe they got two reps left, they got one, and it comes, hits their chest. They're trying to get it up. They're trying to get it up. They're pushing, and and they lock out. That's exciting. That's just entertaining right there, brother.
Definitely. I would love to get a Mike Breen soundbite
after. Bang! That would be stellar.
Yeah.
I would endorse that wholeheartedly. In addition to the wide receivers today, Kyle, the Kyler Murray show came to town.
We both expected there to be a large media presence for Kyler, and there was.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect there to be so much media that I wouldn't be able to hear Kyler over the two speakers that they have set up.
Yeah, and
to
be fair, the man is rather soft-spoken. It's not like he's yelling or, you know, he's projecting in a loud way. So, but yeah, I mean, you couldn't hear him very well.
Mm-mm.
And there were a ton of people there. I mean, in fact, you and I both looked at each other about halfway through and said, we'll just watch this on TV later. There's really no point in us sticking around here. But I don't know, dude. I mean, he certainly has a presence.
Did he look 5'10 and 1/8 to you?
He looked about 5'10 and 1/8 to me.
Yeah.
From a distance, I mean, you can tell he's certainly not a large man. I don't think you're ever going to confuse him with Ben Roethlisberger. I'll put it that way.
How tall is Big Ben?
I think Big Ben is listed at about...
On the pod today, we're discussing a lot of different height.
Yeah, let's see. Ben, Kyle, what are you listed at?
5'11".
5'11". Big Ben listed at 6'5".
Mm.
Producer Trev, what do you list yourself at?
5'11".
5'11".
And the official weigh-in of the doctor last time, I think it was like 5'10 and a half or something.
I'll give you 5'11", yeah. Brother. I'll give it to you.
Getting shorter in my older age.
Oh, yeah. I list myself at 6'1", 6 foot, and just under a half without shoes on. But I like to, you know, sure. 6'1" sounds better.
As I've told both of you, my brother is 6'6".
Yeah, Rick Jr. Big shout out to Rick Jr.
So as I've grown up and become the man that I am today, I've always thought that I would hit the 6 foot threshold just because he was at 6'6". Never made it.
Is there any animosity between you and Rick Jr. because of that?
No, I love Rick Jr., but yeah, what animosity could that, if I were to get in a physical altercation with my brother, his size alone, I can't beat that.
Did Rick Jr. play ball of any variety?
He should have. I don't know to what extent, but he was athletic,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
My family has a real quick sidebar. My family's participated in some interesting sports. My dad was a gymnast.
No, you told me that. Yeah. Blessings to Rick Sr.
Rick Sr. was on the rings.
Oh.
Yeah, that requires a lot of strength.
In all seriousness, one of my best friends growing up, shout out Eric, the great Eric Shostad, who's now doing honorable work in the great state of Europe, or not state of Europe, excuse me, state of Spain, or not state, country of Spain. Geography's not my deal. You know that. He's in Spain, but he's teaching English to the underserved youth out there.
Beautiful.
But anyways, his younger brother was an absolute stud gymnast. He did the rings as well. And my God, this kid, AJ, I don't know if he ever lifted a weight a day in his life, and he looked like DJ Metcalf.
It's impressive.
I mean, the upper body strength alone.
To hold yourself up like that. Yeah. It's impressive. It's always
awe-inspiring.
The people that are able to walk up to a pole and hold themselves out like a flag. Have you seen that?
I have.
Oh, my. That's...
The core strength needed. Incredible.
Yeah. It hurts my brain when I think of it or I see
Honestly,
it.
Honestly, whenever I think of the rings, I think of that that great scene in Old
I
School.
I was going to say that, too.
Oh, man. Vince Vaughn with the Lucy.
Yeah,
incredible.
Beautiful.
What other weird sports is your family into? Non-conventional, I should say.
Well, it's more like my dad and my brother. Probably my brother played a few different things. He played football, a little ball, a little basketball. I mean, those aren't weird by any means, but I was referencing my dad. My dad, I played cross country. I hated it. I hated cross country.
Sorry to hear that.
No bocce ball or anything like that?
It all comes back to my dad. My dad participated in a few bocce ball leagues. In his older age, you know, a couple bowling leagues here and there. I actually, God, this is embarrassing. When I was in fifth grade, I took bowling lessons from a Florida Raider, no less, actually.
What?
Yeah, I can't remember his last name. It's escaping me. He was a tackle, though, and his name was Chris. He had this long ponytail. Big, large man, for sure. But
how does one get into the private bowling lessons game?
That's a story for another time.
This is what I want to know before we move on. Did you approach your parents about getting bowling lessons, or did they bring it to you?
No, I don't think my parents that was for sure a young Kyle decision. I think my buddy, because I did it with a buddy, so my buddy was into it. I was like, I'll give it a try. Whatever.
What's your best game?
Best game?
Yeah.
Dude, it honestly happened when I was probably a younger kid, when I was in 6th or 7th grade, I think I bowled a 200. But since then, my game has decreased immensely. And tonight, we're going to St. Elmo's.
We are, baby. That's a segue, Kyle. That's what we're talking about. That is a segue. We are going to St. Elmo's. At our reservation is a touch before midnight at 9:15. So we have about 17 hours before supper. But, yeah, I'm fired up. Shrimp cocktail.
Well, that's how you know you're old. You're an old man at heart for sure because you call it supper.
No, I call it a variety of things. But, yeah, I'm fired up. I'm excited. A couple shrimp cocktails, a couple adult beverages perhaps. And it's going to be a good time, man. It's kind of a – not accumulation or a culmination of the week, I should say, because we still got a lot to do. But, I mean, you got to do it. When in Indy, you know, you got to come. You absolutely, have to. You, no choice.
I will say that Mike Mayock and Coach Gruden both
that has been my biggest combine takeaway, is that Gruden and Mayock don't like shrimp cocktail.
It's not the only time I've ever ordered a shrimp cocktail has been at St. Elmo's, but I like shrimp and I like horseradish, and
it's a perfect marriage then.
Yeah, exactly. So, when in Rome.
Yeah, or in Central Indiana, I guess, or wherever we are. But that really did surprise. I thought Gruden was going to be heavy on the shrimp cocktail. He seems like the kind of guy who would just eat that up, no pun intended. But nah, not for me.
Whatever.
Such is life. But after we enjoy our shrimp cocktail tomorrow. Back to work. Defensive linemen, as we kind of mentioned earlier, the D-line and the linebackers will speak tomorrow. So that's exciting. We got a lot of questions, things that we want to know. And Saturday, March 2, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends hit the field at Lucas Oil.
I wish I could.
And Kyler won't be throwing, though. But
he won't?
No throwing.
Okay. I wish I could just be a fly on the wall in these interviews that the coaching staffs are having with the players, because what a different experience it must be compared to all the media. You know, when all these kids are talking to the media, they're giving, you know, what's one area that you need to get better at? Oh, well, I think I need to get better at everything, you know?
Yeah.
Not that they're going to say something different to the coaches, but that's the real stuff right there.
Yeah, I think that obviously the best case scenario is that Coach Gruden and his staff and Coach May, or not Coach May, excuse me, Mike and his staff, I think that the best case scenario is they really have a good idea of what these guys are, who they are as players, obviously, but then the off-the-field stuff too. And I think that truthfully, look, the tape of these guys is, it is what it is. The tape doesn't lie. But I think what's great about the Combine, what's great about Indy, the Senior Bowl too, obviously, when we were down there, is that Coach Gruden and his guys really get a chance to figure out what makes these guys tick. And as kind of corny and cliche as that is, that's the really important. You know, Mike was telling us the other day, he goes, really, in terms of the measurable stuff here, the runs, the times of the runs, how much they bench, it's really just a cross-check. So if everything goes to plan, you know, you don't really learn that much. Really what you're going to learn, you go back and you kind of reevaluate if there's something funky in that. If you think a guy is going to run, you're throwing it out there, a 4.4, and he clocks in at a 4.9. Like, oh, okay, maybe we need to go back and we need to look at some things again. But, you know, getting the time with these guys, seeing how they can get in the playbook, how they can kind of operate under pressure. Because I would imagine those interviews are not the funnest things for these kids.
No.
Like, they're kind of thrown in the fire. A lot is obviously asked of them. And, you know, seeing how they respond, I think, is a good indicator of what kind of player they can be going forward.
Yeah, I spoke with Keelan Doss today, wide receiver from UC Davis.
Yep, Alameda kid too, which is pretty cool.
Yep, a Bay Area native who's gaining a lot of traction in the combine and as the NFL draft nears. And he was saying, because he was a member of the Raiders North roster,
mm-hmm.
and he got to know Coach Gruden and the Raiders coaching staff, which was cool for him because he grew up a Raiders fan.
Yep.
But he was telling me how I didn't understand until we went to the Senior Bowl last month just how much it prepares these kids for the combine, because the interview process that they go through there might be a little more it might be just a little bit more difficult because you're practicing, you're being with the coaching staff every day. You might become more comfortable with them, but that's a week-long interview as opposed to a little speed dating session.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, yeah.
Right? So it was interesting to hear from his perspective that this is nothing to him. He feels comfortable here, and it's just interesting to see how the combine is a little bit different than the Senior Bowl for various ways.
Yeah, 100%. And the Senior Bowl, excuse me, not the Senior Bowl, the combine will keep on rolling, and we'll be here tomorrow once again giving you everything you need to know. Very exciting. We've had a blast the first couple days. Still got a lot to go, but it's fun. We're in full evaluation mode, Kyle. I know that tomorrow in particular, a day that you've had circled on your calendar for quite some time. So rest up tonight. Enjoy a little shrimp cocktail, maybe a glass of red wine like Coach Gruden instructed us. And we will be back tomorrow, stronger than ever, reinvigorated, and ready to rock on another episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.